What is up, guys? My name's Jordan. I'm with my old man Howie, and welcome to episode 20 of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to another show. We appreciate everybody tuning in this week and listening, or each week and listening for that matter. Halfway point of the NBA season this past weekend, All-Star Weekend. Weren't originally planning on having it. In fact, when they announced it, some of the stars, including King LeBron or King James, spoke out about it. I think the guys wanted a little bit of a rest on the condensed season, and were also a little bit nervous about what was going on with COVID. But NBA...
We also got to witness what it was like when two of the players on the All-Star team got COVID, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
They didn't get COVID, but they were exposed to somebody who had it.
They're sitting out their first game back from All-Star break on Thursday, and possibly their next game after that, but they should be back and good to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of the norm right now in pretty much every walk of life. What everybody's learned this past year with this pandemic is sometimes you have to adjust on the fly. Certainly wasn't the NBA's first choice, but they did what they had to do to protect the players. Hopefully with the vaccine coming out and stuff like that, that'll be a thing of the past. You're starting to see crowds to some level at a lot of sporting events throughout the country. I think there were some people at the All-Star game as well. Yeah,
but you could tell, though, like even with the dunk competition, it wasn't like as big and extravagant as past dunk contests and like All-Star weekends. And
yeah, games. I mean, the fact that they had it all in one night was definitely a big change. I haven't been the biggest fan of the dunk contest the last couple of years. I mean, you don't really get the big, big stars participating. And I sort of get it. I mean, like when Jordan and I were watching it, you see some of the things these guys are trying to do. Some of them are dangerous. You know, you're jumping over two guys. You got the other guy who's up from the G League who is jumping up as high as the rim and pretending to kiss it. And I remember when Blake Griffin jumped over a car a couple of years ago. I mean, you know, you're talking about some situation where guys could really get hurt. But I think the event that really shined at the All-Star game, and I've heard it talked about in a number of shows and stuff like that, was the three-point contest.
Yeah, very entertaining. I mean, Steph Curry's the best shooter ever, and he won on the final shot, which was even more crazy. Mike Conley came in filling in for Devin Booker, who was out because of, I think, a sore ankle, and then puts on a show, and then Steph Curry puts on an even better show.
I think in any sport, you have to love it when you're able to watch history or greatness. You have to be able to recognize it. You have to be able to appreciate it. There's a number of players right now, obviously led by LeBron James, who fall into that category. But Steph Curry deserves a tremendous amount of respect. He is incredible. He's an absolutely incredible shooter. I know they said that him and LeBron were very chummy during the events this weekend. Listen, LeBron's not stupid at the end of the day. He knows he needs horses. I don't think Steph Curry would ever leave Golden State. I mean, there are not a lot of guys who stay with teams for the duration of their career. I mean, Steph Curry's synonymous with Golden State. I mean, Jordan and I were talking a little bit about Steph Curry's place in history the other night. I mean, definitely.
And KD.
Yeah, and KD. And other guys. And sort of like the discussion about, you know, when you win a championship with a team that's like an all-star team versus when you don't, the level of competition that you're playing against. You know, and we were talking about the fact that they don't put an asterisk next to championships. Maybe some people remember, like a lot of people talk about how KD went to Golden State to win two championships, but there's not going to be an asterisk in the record books when it comes to those championships. But like I said, just talking about Steph at the end of the day, he is the greatest shooter of all time. He's won two MVPs. He's never won a finals MVP because of Iguodala and Durant. But he is a phenomenal shooter. He's a phenomenal player. He gives 150% all the time. And he's one of those guys you have to really appreciate, you know, while we have him around to watch.
Yep, and I definitely expect them to be in the race for a championship contender next year if Clay comes back healthy.
Yeah, it'd be a shame if they're not, because I think Steph's given his all this year to potentially be like an eighth seed or a play-in team. It's sort of unfortunate. Hey,
if the Jazz are the one seed and the Warriors win their playing game and make it as an 8 seed, I would not be surprised if they were able to blow off the upset.
Well, not to digress to that, but it's like the Jazz are like the most under-respected 27 and I think 9 team in the history of the NBA. Even when Durant and LeBron were drafting their all-star teams for the game, you know, they almost made a joke about the fact that
no one uses the Jazz ever, even in video games.
Yeah, and Mitchell and Gobert got drafted last. And I got news for you. Don't wake a sleeping giant, because the Jazz team is pretty well put together. They play a lot of good defense. And you just never – Jordan's shaking his head, but you don't underestimate a team that's motivated, you know? Yeah. It's motivated. I mean, you talk about the skills competition. I mean, I didn't watch all of it.
Was
Jordan. You can talk about it.
No point. I mean, Sabonis won. We all know how good of a player he is. But, like, Sabonis won the first round against Randall. Went up against Doncic, who's wearing his warm-up uniform and jogging throughout the whole thing. So, no one was really taking it seriously. Glad Sabonis won, though. I think he was a first-time All-Star this year, so good for him. Nothing really much to be said about that or the dunk contest. We talk about the three-point contest. The All-Star game, again, it was okay. I mean, Giannis put on a show. Curry put on a show. Lillard put on a show. But besides that, LeBron barely played. KD didn't play. I mean, wasn't that much to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, the game was lopsided. I thought it was nice that Giannis got MVP. You know, Giannis is probably, at least at the moment, you know, guys are always looked at it a little bit differently from a historical perspective. I mean, the guy's a two-time defending MVP, defensive player of the year. He's going to be the face of the league.
And the one seed back-to-back years.
Yeah, I mean, hasn't won in the playoffs as much, but it's going to come. Yeah, look at all these guys.
This year.
Jordan, LeBron, everybody struggles a little bit until they break through. This guy is going to be the face of the NBA. He's a great guy. He's a hard worker. He decided to stay with Milwaukee. I don't know that other players would have done that. Probably needs a new coach in order to maximize the talent of that team.
I mean, people say he needs a new coach. I mean, they've lost a couple games recently, but a big part of that is Drew Holiday, who in my opinion is a top three point
top
guard.
Three.
No, who on both sides of the ball, defense and offense, when you put them together.
Right.
In my opinion, looking at the East, we can start transitioning to where teams stand. In the East, I think it's a three-man race between the Sixers, the Nets, and the Bucks. But the Nets got Blake Griffin. I don't know how much that really – I mean, the name is Blake Griffin. Like, everyone knows who he is, but he's coming off the bench. He's not as athletic as he was. I don't know how much that brings to the Nets team that needs defense. Blake Griffin doesn't play defense. He's not a high flyer anymore. Maybe he can help move the ball around. But when you're looking at the 76ers versus the Nets and the Bucks versus the Nets, you have these two monsters of Joel Embiid and Giannis. Who on the Nets is stopping them?
Yeah, I mean, listen.
The Nets are obviously great, but
But they can't beat them by themselves.
Yeah,
even without Blake Griffin, the Nets are the favorite. I think the biggest question for the Nets is KD being healthy. I mean, the guy's coming off a bad injury. Yes, he took a lot of time to heal. He was logging heavy minutes at the beginning of the season. And now all of a sudden he's out for 3 weeks. Okay? They're still good without him because they have two other all-world players. So I think the Nets are the team to beat. You know, Joel Embiid cannot do it by himself. I will say this. The guy is playing phenomenal. He's been healthy. I mean, Jordan and I, we bought one of his Prism cards before the season started. We were excited. It went from 300 to 500. We sold it. Now they're up over 800. I mean, he's averaging like 30 points, 12 rebounds. He's shooting the three. I think when they played against Utah, everybody looked at Gobert as being like an all-defensive player, and Gobert dominated him.
I mean, Embiid dominated him.
I'm sorry, Embiid dominated him.
Yeah, when you look at the Sixers all around, they're great defensively. They got a great head coach with Doc Rivers. Ben Simmons, probably the best defending point guard in the league. Then you got Seth Curry and Danny Green, who could shoot the lights out. Their bench is great. And then you just got Embiid as the centerpiece. I think the key to winning this championship, if they want to win, is Kyle Lowry. If they can acquire Kyle Lowry, who's also great on both sides of the ball, and I know they've been in talks, Kyle Lowry's number one choice would be the Sixers. they would be, in my opinion, matched up against the Nets, and I could see it going either way. And same thing with the Bucks. You got Drew Holiday, Middleton, and Giannis. They all match up when you look it on paper against the Nets.
Yeah.
So I mean, it should be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. I would just say the Celtics, they have pretty much the same team as last year. They've been up and down a little bit this year, but I would not be surprised if they come on towards the end.
And the Heat. I know people like to sleep on the Heat. They have not been healthy one game this year.
No, I know. It's actually the Heat are 14-8 when Jimmy Butler plays.
Yeah. And Harrow has been out. Bam should have been an all-star this year. He's been doing great. Yeah. But I would not be surprised that Eric Spoelstra has that it factor when it comes to coaching.
No, he's a great coach. You know, and it's interesting. We're talking about these different teams and the NBA season from a card standpoint. When you're coming into the season and there's a lot of hype around these players, and everybody knows if you are collecting cards that pretty much every player's card values come down.
Except for Zion, I mean.
No, Zion has come down. He's ticked up a little bit lately. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, the guys whose cards have ticked up is like Donovan Mitchell, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker. You know, guys whose teams have been better than people expected. I think if Utah starts to falter a little bit, the Suns are going to start to get more attention. I mean, Chris Paul, again, future Hall of Famer. Booker, DeAndre Ayton. Ayton, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges, Dario Saric, who people sleep on. But I think we got to talk about the Knicks. I mean, what are they, 4 or 5 in the East? They're our team. Never really had a good team until, I think, last 2013.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, Tom Thibodeau's done a great job as a coach. I think it just reinforces the argument that coaches make a difference. I mean,
and defense.
Last year, the Knicks were pretty much the same team, were pretty much horrible. Julius Randle is playing at a level that nobody thought he could play. They do have a tough schedule during the second half of the season.
They start off with the Bucks and Nets and the Sixers.
You could almost say no matter what happens from here on in, that it's been a good season for the Knicks. I mean, they've shown they have talent, they have young players, they have cap space, they have draft picks. And, you know, there's been various articles by NBA experts saying that stars are going to be angling to come to the Knicks. And that's what you really want at the end of the day when you've sort of been a perennial loser. You want stability, you want a good management team, you want a good coaching staff. You're not going to swap out the owner because he's not selling. You just hope that he continues to mind his own business.
Yep. But next, I mean,
the Western Conference.
Yeah, let's move it over to the Western Conference. We already discussed the Jazz. They're the one seed right now.
Yeah.
I think the contenders, you got the Jazz, the Suns, the Lakers, and the Clippers as the top four. Then the wild cards are the Nuggets and Blazers. Those are the teams that could beat the good teams, but also they could fall to them.
Yeah, the interesting thing with the Lakers, who get so much attention, is that they haven't been getting as much attention without Anthony Davis there.
But yet they're still the 3 seed and have the best defense in the league.
They are the 3 seed. They do have the best defense in the league. They have a deep team. I mean, they've just been playing teams that are deeper and better. And hopefully Anthony Davis's injury isn't more than it's been made out to be. Again, you know, anytime, I remember last year, 2 years ago, KD strained his calf. He came back after 3 weeks in the finals, and then he tore his ACL. You got to be careful with these guys. I mean, Anthony Davis, unfortunately, during the course of his career, he has had some injuries. And the amazing thing is when you look at King James, the guy's 36 years old, and he doesn't miss a beat. I mean, it's uncanny. I mean, he's like a borderline superhero.
Yeah.
When you think about, you know, the fact that he's gone so deep in the playoffs so many times and the tread on his tires, it's just, you know, there's been nobody at his age in his career that's competed at this high of a level with that much tread on the tires.
Brady.
But
Tom Brady. You know,
disagree on Brady.
I'm kidding.
Disagree. It's a different type of game at the end of the day. But, certainly the Lakers are going to be there at the end.
There's been rumors. Yeah. There's been rumors going around that the Lakers could possibly get Andre Drummond if he's bought out by the Cavaliers. I think they're the favorite for him. And Andre Drummond is a guy that can get you 20 and 20 on a nightly basis, 20 points, 20 rebounds. He's clearly better than Marcus Gasol has been this year. And Anthony Davis and Andre Drummond as your front court, that's pretty scary for people trying to drive in because those are two of the best top defensive big men in the league. And then you got LeBron, obviously, leading the way. But I think a team that's fallen off a little bit is the Clippers. I don't have any doubt they're going to be right back where they started earlier in the season.
Kawhi missed some games here
and there. Paul George missed some games. I mean, Lou Will started off the season not so good, but
They are a team that's motivated after last year.
Yeah, but my prediction is it will end up being the Lakers and Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, unless the Clippers fall. I don't see a world where LeBron does not make the Western Conference Finals unless AD remains injured and they don't get a big man. But my prediction still stands. You got LeBron and AD, you're making the finals. And especially if they get Andre Drummond, they're winning the finals. Then the East, I mean, the Nets are the favorite to most people, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Sixers or Bucks found a way, especially with the two big men leading the way for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, in the Western Conference, the other teams, like we said, Phoenix, Utah.
It's
possible that one of those teams, don't forget, Utah was on the verge of beating the Nuggets in the first round. I mean, the Nuggets barely squeaked by. And, you know, don't sleep on Donovan Mitchell. I mean,
yeah, they all got to stay healthy, though. They all got to stay healthy.
Well, that's every team. Every team has to stay healthy.
Every Western Conference matchup should be amazing because you got the 7 through 10 play-in games, and then those are going to consist of you got Luka, Curry, all those guys. And then once they win, they're going to go against the top dogs with LeBron, Donovan Mitchell, Kawhi, Paul George, AD, all those guys. But let's transition over to the predictions for the awards. What are your thoughts on MVP?
I thought, and we've talked about the fact that LeBron had been lobbying for MVP this year. I mean, things could radically change in the second half of the season.
I think we both can agree.
But I think
Embiid,
barring injury, Joel Embiid.
Or I mean, Jokic.
I think it's Embiid. I mean, just because the Sixers have one of the best records in the East. They're hopefully going to continue to play at a high level. I mean, the one thing is injury. I mean, he's injury prone, and that's why a lot of people haven't been on the bandwagon with him in the past. I mean, the guy's 26 years old, though. I mean, he's got some big years coming if he can get himself, continue to stay in shape, play at a high level.
He would be the first big man MVP since Shaq, I think, which would be crazy.
Dirk, do you consider Dirk?
He's not.
Kevin Garnett? You're talking more of a center type guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen. I mean, look. You talk about the evolution of players in the NBA and these big men who can shoot the three, who can bring the ball up. I mean, Embiid sort of embodies that at the end of the day. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's Embiid. I mean, I would say Jokic second, probably LeBron third.
LeBron, Curry, and Lillard all in that mix.
Yeah, I mean, Harden, people have talked about. I mean, he's adapted his game a little bit.
The only reason why Harden wouldn't be in my top five is because of what he did in Houston. He sat out, played around, didn't play every game there. You got to take into account all the games, not the games.
No, I know, but it's interesting with that. You know, people have short memories. Unfortunately, a guy like Kyrie keeps reminding us he's a little bit of a schmuck. You know, Harden historically has not been that way during his career. And like I said, he has adapted his game in Brooklyn. He's kept his mouth shut. He's become almost like a facilitator, getting triple-doubles and stuff like that. But, I do think something would have to radically change for it not to be, you know, Embiid, Jokic, or LeBron. And I will say this again. I mean, it's amazing because people have a little bit of Giannis fatigue at the end of the day because he's coming off back-to-back MVPs. But when you look at his stats, this guy's been phenomenal, you know. So I certainly don't expect him to win it this year, but I do expect the Bucks to be in the mix as it gets towards the playoffs.
Same. And then let's transition over to most improved. My pick now is Julius Randle. I mean, look what he did last year to this year. I'm not being biased or anything because the stats don't lie. I mean, what was he averaging last year compared to this year? I think he's shooting.
It's much different. I mean, just the attention he's getting. It's not only that, it's the impact he makes on the overall team.
Either him or Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's on one of the worst teams in the league.
Isn't Brandon Clark, is he somebody else who people have said?
He's been injured a little bit, but I don't think so.
Listen, I'll go with Randle just because I'm a Knicks fan, and it'd be nice to have a Knick win that type of award. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Knicks do. I don't think they had any thoughts of retaining him beyond this season. And now, you know, they're looking at the possibility of signing him to a long-term contract. So that should be very interesting.
Yeah. And we got Rookie of the Year. I think we both can quickly agree, LaMelo Ball.
I mean, there's nobody else. Definitely going to be LaMelo. This guy is going to be a superstar. Far exceeded, you know, the expectations I had for him at the end of the day. I think over All-Star Weekend, MJ, you know, he was interviewed, and he was even talking about the fact that they never expected him to be this good. The funny thing is I saw another story where the Golden State Warriors, you know, supposedly had told him that they were going to draft him, And then at the end of the day, they backed off and they went with Weissman. But
I just don't know how well that would have worked with LaMelo and Curry. Who would handle the ball?
Well, I mean, it didn't really work with D'Angelo Russell, you know, and that's probably one of the reasons he got traded by Golden State. I mean, they didn't want to
give up. The Warriors have Minnesota's first round pick this year.
That's crazy.
And that would be the number one overall pick.
That's pretty crazy.
But I think if Minnesota's the worst three team, it's protected. So I think if Minnesota finishes in the bottom three, the Timberwolves will get their pick. If not, the Warriors will get it.
Yep.
But so, and one more, we got Coach of the Year. My go-to is Quinn Snyder on the Utah Jazz, either him or Tom Thibodeau, just because, once again, no biases, but let's look at the Knicks last year compared to this year. I mean, obviously a big improvement. They're a playoff team. They're above 500.
Yeah, I don't see them giving it to Thibodeau just because they don't have that many wins. I will say I think Steve Nash has done an impressive job with the Nets, even with all the talent. When you're juggling those type of personalities at the end of the day,
he's done nothing. It's just a first-year
coach. That's not true. It's absolutely not true, because if that was the case, people would say Phil Jackson did nothing in his career when he won 11 championships. Because people underrate the fact that it takes a certain type of personality when you're juggling egos. And I'm not sure there's ever been an NBA team with three egos as big as the Nets.
Egos are going based on record and what they've
done. Doesn't make a difference. Look at their record. What are their record over the last 11 games? I think they have one of the best records in the league.
Yeah.
And they're probably on their way to being the number one seed. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Just my opinion. He's a first-year coach. I mean, you don't sleep on that.
They're 60 last year. They're the best record in the league and a powerhouse of the West.
Just telling you what my thoughts are, man. Just telling you what my thoughts are. Were there any other awards that we missed?
Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, Rudy Gobert. Even though he just got dominated by Embiid. Probably Rudy Gobert and Miles Turner.
But I think a year ago today, Rudy was wiping the microphones at the end of a press conference.
And now we're discussing.
Jordan was crying that, you know, the NBA season was put on pause. And I was crying about Tom Hanks catching COVID. Hopefully we're putting that behind us. Just talking about cards for a little bit, like we were saying with the NBA, you want to look at guys who are expected to make a strong run towards the playoffs and possibly a deep run in the playoffs. And we talked about some of them. I certainly expect LeBron's cards to go back up again. You know, Donovan Mitchell, Joel Embiid, Jordan mentioned Booker. You know, I think Zion. I mean, just to stop to talk about Zion a little bit, putting cards aside, guys averaging more than 25 points. I personally thought Zion was the second coming of Greg Oden. You know, just because he's carrying so much weight on his frame, the injuries he had last year. But listen, he's 20 years old, folks. 20 years old. This guy's got a great career ahead of him. He was an all-star this year. He actually got a chance to start because some of the COVID-related issues. And again, Luka, you can't escape his greatness. I think Dallas, you know, waited on making some moves this year because they have cap space. They may want to try to move like Kristaps Porzingis or some of the other players to make a move, but you know, Zion, Luka, Giannis, these guys are going to be the face of the league moving forward. I think I saw a stat today when you talk about some of the top stars in the league. You've got like 7 or 8 guys between LeBron, Chris Paul, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry,
Lillard,
Kyrie Irving. He might be a little bit younger. All these guys are like 31, 32. And when you start to get up there in NBA years, you don't have much time ahead of you there at the end of the day. So at some point, you're going to start looking to the next wave of stars. I think the future is going to be bright. I mean, there's no doubt about it with all these guys that you have. We didn't even mention Trae Young, who's having a little bit of a down season. But he's also out there as well. Ja Morant, who wasn't involved in All-Star Weekend. He's another one with a bright future. Baseball season's also around the corner. I don't know how much we're going to really end up talking about baseball just because I certainly don't know that much about it. Jordan probably knows more than I do.
I just wanted to mention on our Instagram, if you guys are following, I've recently posted a card pickup that you guys should invest in, Kyler Murray PSA 10 Prism cards. We're going to start discussing some of those cards on our podcast, and we'll be posting them on our Instagram. So be on the lookout for that. But if you didn't check out the Instagram post, one of the guys that we think you guys should invest in for next football season is Kyler Murray. I think his prices for his PSA 10 base Prism cards are...
Now they're in the low fives.
They're in the low fives. And last year, I think they got to a high of 1,200.
11 or 1,200. Again, guys, this is just our observations. You make your own decisions at the end of the day. Obviously, nothing's guaranteed when it comes to cards. But I think if you look at trends, we use Card Ladder. If you look at trends over the past year, there's a clear trend that in the off season of sports, when people are paying attention to active sports, you know, card values tend to settle down a little bit lower. And then as the season gets closer and people get excited and you look at the moves that people make, you know, NFL free agency's coming up, then you're going to have the draft, coaching staff changes, and everybody starts to get positioned.
All the quarterback
changes. Everybody starts to get positioned for next season, and people get hyped about their teams as they get close to the season. And that's usually a nice opportunity for a buy-sell play. The other thing that's nice about it, as we all know, there are a lot of injuries in football. And usually, unless a guy pulls like an Aaron Boone, which for those people who don't know, you know, the Yankees had signed him to a decent-sized contract after he hit a big home run for them in like 2000. I think it was 2001, right around there, against the Red Sox in like Game 7. You know, a really, really memorable home run. Then went and injured himself playing basketball in the offseason, and his contract was valid, you know, invalidated. Sort of ironic that he's now back managing the team, even though one thing has nothing to do with the other. But again, players rarely get injured in the offseason, so it's certainly a play to flip cards and make money on them at the end of the day. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people are talking about what's going to happen with the card market a little bit. As COVID starts to phase itself out and people get vaccinated, then maybe the card market's going to correct. It's going to be interesting to see, because I think the majority of the people are in the card market. They're not necessarily doing it as full-time jobs. They're doing it in their downtime. They're doing it on the weekends. They're doing it at night. So I think that the card market's here to stay. I mean, there are a lot of cards flooding the market. Jordan and I have been talking about that when he goes to retail to try to get cards. Seems like every week there's new cards coming out, and you wonder if there's a little bit of a risk of saturation. I don't know if there's anything else talking about what's on TV, a little bit of pop culture. This past weekend, you know, had AEW, one of their pay-per-views.
And Avatar Studios. In case any of you guys watch Avatar The Last Airbender, if you watched it when you were younger, it's a phenomenal show. Highly recommend. It's on Netflix and Paramount Plus that just came out.
Jordan loves Avatar. I've watched the first two seasons. I didn't get through the third yet.
But he liked it, I think.
Oh, I've liked it. I mean, there's other stuff I like better, but, you know, it's a cartoon, so what do you expect?
Yeah, but thank you guys again for listening.
Yep. No, tell your friends.
We're going to be doing an upcoming giveaway for 4,000 followers. Thank you to all who are following. Any final words?
No, I mean, just keep on listening, guys. Tell your friends to listen. We love just sitting down when we, you know, we do, and just sort of BSing, talking about what's going on in sports, just enjoying the time together. And we hope you guys enjoy too.
All right. Thanks again, guys.
We out.